the Holy Spirit is the teacher. We just ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth as we discuss your word. And we just thank you for what you're going to do, and give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I actually felt that we should start on verse 10. Go back to 10, kind of do a read thing right there.
I want to start on 10.
Okay. And before you read, I just want to read this because this is so good. It says, this is the title of this. It says, I'm not anxious over your divisions. It says, now I do beg you, my brothers, by all of our Lord Jesus Christ means to you, to speak with one voice. Speak with one voice. And it says, and not allow yourselves to be split up into parties. It says, all together you should be achieving a unity in thought and in judgment. I like that. Basically, that means one mind. For we know from what some of, Cleo's people have told me, that you are each making different claims. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you guys to read that again. It doesn't matter which one.
Ten.
Yeah.
But I urge you and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there is no dissension or fraction or division among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and your opinions and judgments. For it has been made clear to me, my brethren, by those of Cleo's household, that there are contentions and wrangling and fractions among you. What I mean is this, that each one of you either say, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, Peter, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ the Messiah divided into parts? Was Paul crucified on behalf of you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. Yes, I did baptize the household of Stephanas, also more than these. I did not remember that I baptized anyone. For Christ the Messiah sent me out not to baptize, but to evangelize by preaching and the glad tidings, the gospel, that not with verbal eloquence, lest the cross of Christ should be depraved of force and empty of its power and rendering vain, fruitless, void of value and of no effect. For the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition. But to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. You want me to go any further?
Is that, that's through 18, right?
That's 18.
Yeah, I want you to stop right there.
Okay.
It sounds like to me, I actually want to know what you're hearing here. It sounds like to me that Paul's trying to get everybody's eyes on Christ.
Yeah.
And the cross.
Yeah.
Because if you're saved, you're saved by that.
Right.
I mean, we haven't come to it yet, but the redeeming power of God is his son's blood. Mm-hmm. Without the there's no redemption of sins without his blood, right?
That's right.
And so Paul's trying to tell them, don't go with this man or that man, but stay with Christ only.
Right.
He's even telling them not go with Paul. Mm-hmm. He's saying your baptism should be in Christ. All right? And
what he's saying here is, was Paul crucified on behalf of you? So
right.
Yeah. were you baptized in the name of Paul? No.
Right. Mm-hmm. I like where you were saying about I can't remember anyone else, so anyway, because he's saying, this is all that I've ever done. Mm-hmm. For Christ did not send me primarily to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I have not done this by persuasive and clever words, for I have no desire, and I love this, to rob the cross of its power.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, basically, I mean, today's words were, I don't want to take anything away from that. You know, because if you take anything away from it, you are robbing.
Yeah.
That's why so many, you know, I mean, I know a lot of churches and a lot of different religions that, you know, get them saved, get them saved, get them saved. But I read the scripture, I believe you can lead a life of conviction. I do believe you can do that. But I also believe that it takes the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I'm going to not rob the Holy Spirit either, because I don't think that we can change anyone. You ever try talking to somebody and have them try to change them, change their mind, change the way they go? Has that worked out for you? I would say no, and I don't even know who you talk to. Isn't that about right?
Yeah.
Because it takes the Holy Spirit. He said, if they're going to be drawn, they're going to be drawn by His Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then
comes,
once...
No one comes.
Right.
But that He draws.
But by the, right, that's right. And I think a lot of times, I don't understand people's reason by not believing that when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, where I go, you can't come. But I won't left... Depending on what scripture you're reading, I mean, whether it's Amplified, King James, or Phillips, or whoever, it says that I'm not going to leave you orphans.
Yeah.
Bless you. Bless you again if you're going to do it. Bless you again. That's why I tell Debbie all the time. And she does it 3 times usually. Well, anyway, otherwise he wanted them to know that which I'm sending you. Otherwise he wasn't taking nothing away from the Holy Spirit either. This would, because he did say, that what I'm sending you will lead you into what? All truth.
All truth.
Mm-hmm. All truth. So the Holy Spirit was going to lead you into a truth that He hadn't told you about yet.
Yeah.
As confirmation. And to me, and I know we shouldn't go by feelings, but when the Holy Spirit came upon me, I knew immediately it wasn't me that I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I knew it wasn't a Clyde being clean. It was already a clean vessel. The Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, does that to you. And I think that in the scripture where Paul is so determined, I'll use the word determined to lead people as the Holy Spirit does into all truth. See, he's not deviating any. Bless you. He's not deviating any. So, I'll open it up. What's anybody else think?
I'll read you the footnotes in this one translation here. It says, 1 Corinthians 1:10, it says, the congregation of believers in Corinth was so sorely divided over which leader or apostle they should follow. 1-3, it says, over the limits of their freedom, over their socioeconomic status, and over their spiritual gifts. Divisions among believers grossly hindered our message and the ministry to the world of unbelievers. Paul's pleading with them to unite around the love of God for one another. You know, and, you know, literally, I like what Brother Eddie used to say about, you know, sons of God are they that can ascend and condescend of men of all states. And I believe that. And God is not a God of division. He's a God of oneness, you know, of unity. And Jesus' prayer was, Father, I pray that they might be one,
right,
as you and I are one.
Yes.
You know, you and me and them. And then when we become one, then the world will believe.
Mm.
Well, if you look at other portions of Scripture, you look at... In Revelations, where John had his revelation of Jesus Christ, it said, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he saw him, he said his voice was as the voice of many waters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that Scripture tells us out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water, and so on and so forth. And Daniel had a revelation of God, and he said his voice was as the voice of a great multitude. Well, when it's a great multitude, they had to really understand what they were saying, they had to all be saying the same thing.
Right, that's right.
See, and that's the thing, you know, and I hate to say this about religion, so to speak, today, but we have too many divisions. We have people want to put their moniker on their particular sect of division, you know, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, this, that, something else. And instead of just saying we're all Christians and loving each other, mm-hmm. and realizing that some of us are on different levels, and the levels don't mean anything. It's just wherever God's got you. It doesn't make you any more or any less. And, you know, I love what some of the old-time preachers did. You know, I love what Smith Wigglesworth did. He went on over in Rome one time. He was over in Rome, and he went on a tour of the catacombs. And the priests, you know, take you on the tour of the catacombs, and they took him on, you know, underneath the Vatican and all over there in Rome. There's all kind of catacombs. There's like caves and stuff, and a lot of people are buried down there and everything else. But you know, he went on a tour with a priest, and the priest, him and he struck up conversation with the priest, you know, and they're talking and all this and that. And finally the priest tells him, he says, you know, Mr. Wigglesworth or Smith, he says, you'd make a really good Roman Catholic, you know, because I guess he talked to him about the Lord and stuff. And then Smith looked at him and he told him, he says, I am a Catholic, and the word Catholic just means universal. Mm-hmm. He believed in a universal church of God, you know, in other words, it's not in one mm-hmm. little place or anything like that. And he did tell him that. And then he said, if you ever got saved, you'd make a great Christian. And he said, and they said in that article, the next thing you know, he had him down on his knees and all praying to the Lord. You know, and see, that's the difference between religion and the difference between, like Clive was saying about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you know you've been changed. You know there's a difference. You know, you don't think, well, maybe I'm different, or maybe you know that you've had an encounter with God. And you know, you can see the fruit of that in people's lives. And it's man that puts the divisions there. You know, it's not God. He don't put the divisions there. You don't see any place in there where Jesus said he was of this sect or of that sect or mm-hmm. of this party or that party or any of that stuff. He didn't say any of that. You know why? Because he was God. And to be honest with you, we have to be careful. We don't get caught up in all that stuff, you know, in the religious thing and the political things and everything else. We know we're Christians. We need to be Christians, you know, and we need to do whatever we feel like God wants us to do, one way or the other, you know. And, you know, because anything that's causing division is not, it's not of God. God's not about division, you know what I mean? And
He's about multiplication.
He's about oneness. He wants everybody to be one with Him and one with each other. The only way we're ever going to be one with each other is that we're one
with Him.
With Him. See, and you know, he said in a different place, and I'll be quiet in a minute. He said in a different place, he said, how can you say you love God when you basically, and I'm paraphrasing this, when you can't love your brother that's in front of you? You can see him, you know. And that thing that Jimmy Carter wrote in his book years ago about, and Jimmy Carter, you know, a lot of people don't like Jimmy Carter's political things and all that. And I mean, and that shouldn't even be entered into things about that man. He used to go and teach Sunday school every Sunday in Plains, Georgia. And they said hundreds and hundreds of people would come and sit in his Sunday school class. And I believe he was a really good man. He loved God, you know. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he was a Baptist, if you want to put a label on him. But that don't make no difference. And they ask him, he asked this one evangelist one time, he said, "What is your secret?" Because this guy just apparently was really leading a lot of people to the Lord.
Right.
And he said, "What is your secret? In reaching people." He said, "I love the one that's standing in front of me."
Oh.
And you know what? That's what this thing is all. That's what this just said. That you love one another. You know, and if we love one, if we love people, you know, love will break through the walls. It'll break through the barriers and everything else. And that old song, you know, it's a secular song. What the world needs now is what? Love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And you know what? That'll be sung in churches every Sunday, just about, because that's the truth, you know, because that's what the world needs is love, and that's what Jesus was. He was the love of God revealed as a man, and he died for the sins of the whole world, you know.
I remember Jimmy Carter helped build houses.
Oh yeah,
poor people and stuff down there.
I honestly believe that's why the Lord that's why the Lord has let that man live so long.
Yeah.
He's gotta be almost 100 by now.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be, because he was president back before Reagan and all of them, mm-hmm. you know. And my goodness, he's been around a long, long time.
The scripture that you quoted earlier that you were reading, now I don't know what you would be off your phone, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Why, as you were reading that, and I know Paul was talking about it.
Right.
But that's present tense now.
Right.
I mean, that's right now. There's a scripture that they shall know us, that we are Christians, by our what?
By our love.
By our love.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, the thing about it is the scripture says that we're not to judge people by their gifts. You know, people can be tremendously gifted.
Yeah.
And the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And there's people who can get up and preach a wonderful sermon, but do they know God?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they have a gift of oratory. They can really talk. Well, it's like the old tract that they used to have out about, you know, about this guy getting up and doing reading the 23rd Psalm. And he was just so elegant and so beautiful and, you know, just sounded great when he read it. And then there was this old man that got up and read it. He stumbled around and read it and all this and that. And everybody was just crying by the time he got done.
Yeah.
And they said, "What was the difference?" And they said, "The one guy knew the 23rd Psalm. The other guy knew the writer of the 23rd Psalm." And then people sensed that. He knew God, you know.
Well, that's like telling a story about somebody that you've never met.
Mm-hmm.
But telling the story of what you met when you met Jesus, nobody can tell your story. Only you can tell it. And it's a magnification of actually what he is.
Yeah.
So, because we don't want to take nothing away from it,
yeah.
We don't want to take nothing away from the cross, from Jesus' blood, from the power of salvation, what he does to us and how he keeps us. Our God's a you like to quote, a consuming fire.
Yeah.
But in that fire, we don't get burned up.
No.
We get warmth of knowing this is really eternity. To know him is eternal life, him and him who he has sent. But the whole thing comes down to, you know, I wanted to tell you, I think it was, I don't know, sure if it was last week or the week before, when I got saved and God used Sonny Cuesta. He preached Calvary. He preached the cross. He hit that podium, and man, you just boom. Like you were the hammer. You felt like you were the hammer. But he goes like this, but Jesus took that because he loved you.
Yeah.
And he loves you just as much today.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, when you hear that, and this got it by revelation, that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I always add, and his mercies are new and fresh every day.
Yes.
And I go like this, what's that saying? That he hasn't changed, you know. And God will lead you to a place to where you think, I don't know why I'm here. You know what? We need to get off the fact of saying, that's a bad thing. That's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because If we don't know why we're here, God is preparing us to realize, because I brought you here. I brought you here, you know. I actually believe that, I went to Wings Christian Fellowship when it was Wings of Deliverance and when it was Elmwood Tabernacle, back when I was 6 years old. And why did I go there? Because my dad had graduated onto God's presence. It was within walking distance, two blocks away, and my sister Pat was already attending there, a part of their youth group. And I'm not kidding you. So God knows where. I tell people, I said, if God has planted you someplace, don't you dare uproot yourself. I've told people that for years. I go like this. But I said, but if he tells you to go someplace, he'll supply a place for you. But I like what it was in Abraham that God told. He said, I need you to get up.
Get up and get out.
He didn't tell him what
to. Get up, no. And he said, and I will show you.
Yeah.
And I go like this. So, you know, he was obedient unto what God had told him. And when it comes down to it, the more you're obedient to what God tells you, not going through your head to figure it out, but what he tells you, when the motivation, you know it's God telling you that. You've had a place to where you know that you know that you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Brother Eddie used to say that a lot. But you know what? It hits home going like it. I do know that. I do know that. I do know that. And you start practicing his presence, and as you start practicing his presence, you brought up and you talked about, what was his name?
Smith Wigglesworth.
No, the guy that was leading people astray. Thought he was in his own eyes.
Father Divine.
Well, Brother Eddie came home, actually told Jim Jones, because this is what he told me. He said, Jim, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. He's right here. And he goes, and he's not him.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually tells you to walk away, to flee. And then a lot of people bring up Jones, and I said, well, Scripture is really good about that. It explains that whole thing. What do you mean it explains the whole thing? His mother taught him what? To know God for yourself. To know, it said, my sheep know my voice.
Right, to know
that. And then what's it say? That's important, to know his voice, but it said, and then they will follow no other. Follow no other. When you are led of the Spirit, you're led of life.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, according to Scripture, that will lead you to a greater life and a greater life and a greater life. When we look at each other, we see life. We see encouragement. We see the Holy Spirit jumping out of us, go like, okay, whatever she needs, give it to her. Hey, why does it say in the Scripture? I know I'm a little off class, but what's it say in the Scripture when it says, withhold no good thing to them that it is due. Then it goes on and says, when it's within your power or your ability to supply the need.
I wanted to go, you know, when we were talking about not following Paul and not exalting Paul,
right,
on that.
Right.
When the disciples said to Jesus, there were some others out that were preaching Christ.
Right.
And they were like offended because they weren't with them.
Right.
You know the Scripture I'm talking,
right,
about.
Yeah.
And he told them to leave him alone because, yeah, they were sharing, I don't know exactly what, do you remember, know the Scripture I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah, but I don't know the exact quote of it, but it also said there that some even preached Christ to contention, you know,
yeah,
bringing contention.
Right.
But he said he gloried in that he was being preached. That Paul said that later on.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
I think that's another fulfillment of the word, where God's word don't return void. Now, I don't know how everybody sees this, but if God can, God at one time spoke, I think, through a donkey.
Yeah, for Balaam.
If he can speak through a donkey, he can't speak through a little child.
Yeah,
that scripture too. He can't speak from an older person. I was put it this way, he can't speak through a babe in the Lord. That babe in the Lord is probably more flexible than the rest of us. Because they had just received. So they can't even really stop receiving. I mean, they almost get so excited. Their zeal is still burning to consume them.
Well, we all have to become as a little child, or we can't enter, or we can't even see the kingdom if we don't become as a little child. Well, what's the difference between a little child and an adult? An adult is usually skewed to the point where they don't believe certain things, and they're set in their ways. And a little child, you know, little kids, when your sons or your daughters are little, they think mom and dad can do anything. How many little kids say to another little kid, my dad could beat your dad up? Well, your dad might be a little skinny guy, couldn't beat his way out of a paper bag. But in that little boy's eyes, his dad could do anything, you know. And that's the attitude we have to have with the Lord. No limitations, you know, God can do anything. And when we have that attitude, then he can do anything, and he does do anything sometimes.
Well, there's a scripture that says, we have not for we ask not, but in asking, when you believe in his name, as you're speaking in his name to what you're believing, it says, don't doubt, don't waver. Because we used to sing a song, the answer is on the way, this I know, Jesus said it, I believe it, makes it so. That is, by the way, true.
Yeah.
That right there is true, because I've heard Oscar say so many times, you know the difference between God's word that's spoken and that which you receive is you believe in it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's true, yeah.
I mean, believe in the word of God. And I'm thinking, you know, if it's in the book, because I throw rocks, so I'm not going to mention, but I heard a person come up to me and says, which Bible you got? And I said, well, I got a King James. Oh, well, then you're in the Word.
Yeah.
But I believe the whole, I'm not putting clamps or stopping or pushing something else. But what I believe is the Holy Spirit can talk to you through other translations to where you can help the rest of the body. There might be something, and no offense, but there might be something in King James you don't actually have all the reality.
Right.
But in J.B. Phillips, it tells you when reality breaks forth. So it gets you on the edge of your seat thinking, hey, this is going to happen. I mean, you know, you can see it in different ways, but I think it's still God. God will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, that's what he's come for, to lead you into all truth. Not to say, well, I'm going to deny this because it's not King James. That to me causes divisions too. And I think, you know, which one you got? I probably got a copy of it. Or he probably got it. But I mean, because we would like to be in the same book to read the same thing. But I don't think God's ability, he wants us to stop learning.
You know, I had one time, you know, I've told this before, but I was teaching Sunday school at the other church, you know, and this brother came in, and Brother Carl came up to me, and he said, oh, Oscar, he said, be careful, Brother so-and-so's here, you know, and he said he kind of takes over sometimes, and you know, all this and that, and he was a King James only guy, you know, that's what it was, you know, and I told Carl, I said, and I used to tell everybody this, and I tell them this when I get in the pulpit. You know, I said, that Sunday school class is not mine. It's the Lord's. You know, I said, I'm not worried about anybody getting out of hand in there. I said, God's perfectly capable of keeping them in line, you know. And, you know, I was reading out of the King James, but I was giving the definition of the words. So really, literally, I was giving an expounding farther than what just the King James says.
Right.
Could have been similar to what an Amplified says or whatever, you know what I mean. But anyway, I was giving definitions of some of the things that were said there. Never got a peep out of him the whole time he sat there. You know, he'd come for a couple of weeks, two or three weeks in a row. Carl gets up and he goes to preach, and he starts talking about I think he might have read out of the Amplified Bible, possibly. Oh my God, that guy jumped up and he started coming against him. You're getting out of the Word of God and all this kind of stuff.
Right in the service.
I mean, man, he went off on him. But see, there again, the thing I feared the most
came upon me. Yeah.
And here I had been given definitions for stuff that I'd been reading, which was, you know, given the Greek and the Hebrew definitions of those words, you know, what some of those words meant. And never got a peep out of him in all that time. But I read it originally just in the King James Version. Mm-hmm. I'd read it, and then I'd say, well, you know, that particular word there means this and this and this, you know. And never got a peep out of him. He gets up and he starts reading out of a different translation. The guy jumps up and starts telling him, you're not in the Word of God, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And it's going on and on.
Jeff actually went and got him and told him, said, brother, you need to sit down. And he wouldn't sit down. And Jeff just kind of got him by the arm and said, you need to leave because you're just creating a scene, you know. Mm-hmm. And he walked him out the door, you know. But, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, because, you know, there's no... When you try to translate anything word for word in another, from another language, which the New Testament was written in Greek, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew Chaldean, you know. Mm-hmm. And anytime you try to translate something word for word, you can't really get the full meaning of what it is. But God has the ability to expound and open you up to receive whatever he wants you to receive out of it, you know. And it's kind of funny, but people are like that. And I told a couple of weeks ago about being at a singing at another church. It was actually a Nazarene church, you know. And this guy had invited this guy and this couple in that were singers, you know. Man, they could really sing and anoint. They were anointed, you know. I mean, that's what really matters.
Yes.
If the anointing, they were anointed, and when they got done, they invited people up for prayer that wanted to be prayed for, and people went up there and after, you know, they prayed for them, and I mean, you know, it was very anointed. Everything was happening. So then what happens? The minister gets up after they're done, says, "Well, they weren't too bad considering they weren't Nazarenes," and I thought, oh God. It was like he threw a wet blanket on the whole thing, and I thought, why in the world would you even say something like that, you know? And basically the whole point is that all of those divisions and all that stupidness, that stuff needs to be just thrown in the garbage. We just need to be brothers and sisters in Christ and forget about all that stuff, you know?
All that Paul was preaching about there.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You know, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, where it talks about not quenching his spirit. When he got up and said that,
he was quenching his spirit. He was trying to, too, yeah.
Shame on him. Anyway, he intended to do that.
Yeah, he did.
But, you know, I think sometimes you can actually quench the spirit by having a conversation when the Holy Spirit's moving with somebody else. It's nothing about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, where you might think you're doing no harm, the other person might need to be, how long is that? Either comforted or convicted by that Holy Spirit to where they can be moved upon. And a lot of times people will get up and walk out, go to the bathroom or something like that, just so, I mean, people say, well, you don't know that going on. Because, I mean, you know, God will move in areas where he's still faithful to that word, and that word says nothing will return void. So whether you act upon it or react upon it, now or whenever it is, God's still going to talk to you.
Well, see, a lot of times, I mean, I will say this, and you know, concerning the deeper truth preachers and, you know, guys that you read after and stuff, you gotta be a little bit careful because you don't want to listen to somebody too much that gets away from the cross and gets away from what Jesus did on Calvary, because he did that you know. And like that scripture in verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't get away from foundational truths. You don't need to preach them every week, you know, but you can't get away from those truths. And a lot of people will talk about, well, bless God, we, you know, we were saved from the day we were born, and we were this and we were that, you know, and we've always been with Christ, and we've all been. Not experientially we weren't, you know what I mean? We weren't experientially until we received what he had done on Calvary. Once we received that, then yes, we were. But you know, technically, in one sense of the word, we were, because he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knew his purposes from the beginning of creation. And even if we were in Christ, like you know, if we were part of Elohim in Genesis, you know, mm-hmm. even if we were part of that, we had to come into this lower realm and experience this realm, and then we still have to be saved by what he did on Calvary.
Right.
You know, we have to be elevated back into that, you know.
Brother Eddie used to preach, and as he was preaching, he would break into a song. And I believe he was led of the Spirit to break into that song. He would break into the song and says, because when I come to the end of myself.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, what does it say? When I come to the end of myself, there'll be no broken pieces setting down on God's shelf. All men see all and men, all men free.
God is all that's left.
When I come to the end of myself.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know,
when he did it, I'm going to tell you the anointing. I remember when he's done it. And like Christ's presence just fell upon, I just remember.
Well, I mean, if you know those words and remember those words and repeat those words, there's no way it's not a confession of what reality is. Because the reality is, Christ is always with you. I mean, Oscar's been teaching for a long time about you and Christ in you. And to be honest with you, shouldn't be any difference.
Yeah.
It says, well, let's see, he that is joined to the Lord is one what?
One spirit.
One spirit. Mm-hmm. And he's been teaching that for years. And somehow, some people want to, you know, kind of separate that. But you know what? When my soul married the Spirit of God, I became the Spirit.
Right.
That's no lie.
You see, if you read what went on in Genesis, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living what?
Spirit.
Soul.
Yeah, right.
Soul. See, living soul. So there's a little difference there, you know. He became a living soul. Well, the spirit that he breathed into him was the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. It was the breath of God, the Spirit of God. But it said man became a living soul. Well, if you take the definition in Scripture of what the word soul is, it's your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions.
Yeah.
It's the natural part of you, see? You know, it's basically all of the natural aspects. And what is he trying to save? Does it say in there, really, when you receive Jesus Christ, what gets saved? And it's your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul.
I wish
he talked about, I'll finish this, but he talked about in there, you know, about wood, hay, and stubble, and all that stuff, you know, being burned up, you know, basically, in Corinthians, I believe it was in Corinthians, he talked about all of that being burned up, and he said, and some will suffer loss, only the precious will remain, some will suffer loss, but they'll be saved, you know what I mean? And basically what he was saying is, the Spirit will return to God. The Spirit that's in you is the very life of God, you know. And if you take that Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where it talks about there's one faith, one baptism, you know, and he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Well, there's only one spirit, you know, and we try to separate, and anytime you're separating yourself from God, you're separating yourself, you know, and you can't really separate yourself from God, you know.
You know, it comes down to, you ever felt like you were supposed to pray for somebody, but then you were supposed to pray for them, but then you thought, well, Lord, I don't know exactly how to pray or what to pray for. Then I was going to continue. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your
soul prospers.
As your soul prospers. Yeah. So God's got an order, and I believe that soul is his order. That's what we're supposed to pray for. Pray for that soul,
right,
and command the rest of that body to get in line with that soul.
I had a time at the old church where there was a person that came up, and God knows what I'm talking about. There was a person that came up, and this person had cancer, and they came up for prayer. And I felt like I was supposed to pray for their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I started praying in that vein, and I actually had somebody say to me, no, that ain't why they're up here. They're up here because,
yeah,
you know, and you know what the person said? No, that's exactly why I'm up here.
That's
they
right.
Said, they
that's
came
right.
out and said that.
That's right.
That my soul would be saved. I normally just pray however I feel like I'm supposed to pray when I pray for somebody. I don't just have a certain prayer or whatever. But I mean, I felt like I was supposed to pray for this person's soul, and I knew they had cancer. I mean, I'd heard that, but I didn't feel like I was supposed to pray for the cancer. I was
right.
supposed to pray for their soul. And I literally had one of the older elders say to me, "That ain't why they're up here. They're up here because they need to be healed." And the guy looked up at him and said, "No." He said, "That's exactly why I come up here, for my soul."
So beautiful.
Yeah, he said that. And I thought, I think you was up there when you cried when that
yeah.
happened. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As he said.
I tell you what, I came home from a graduation ceremony in Kentucky. I came home. I was dropping off one of my aunts, and I asked her how her husband was doing. She said, "He's not doing well at all." I said, "Well, we have to go in." So I went in, and first thing I looked at him, and the Lord told me, he said, "Ask him." So I said, "How's your soul doing?" And he said, "It's not doing well at all." I said, "Well, let's pray and ask God that your soul might prosper." You know, sometimes when your souls prosper, you're getting ready to leave this earth. You know, I'm not one to question God's plan. At no time. We have to be settled in his hand. In his hand is his plan. I still believe that.
Yes.
And nothing shall pluck you ever out of it. If you're in his plan, in his hand, where can you go that he's not there with you? It ain't like, he said, his word declares, Jesus never fails. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. And I believe that. I believe that. But I prayed for his soul. He got saved. The Lord took him home about 2 weeks. And I'm going home, and someone says to me, "Well, how could you do that?" And I looked at him because I was broken. I go, "How could I not? How could I not ask that question? How's your soul?" Do you know, when God came to us, we might not have heard, "How's your soul?" But this is what I did this for.
Yeah.
That you and me would become one.
Yeah.
And when God speaks, we ought to do the commercial, but we ought to know it's God. E.F. Hutton, when E.F. Hutton speaks, you ain't seen everybody.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, when God speaks, most of the time you'll see somebody either on their knees, crying, shouting, running up and down the pews. I mean, that's not a lie. You'll see a lot of things. And God's God. I mean, he'll always be God. He's God in that fiery furnace. He's got back by the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true too.
Yeah.
That's true. You haven't, your foot hasn't put place in anywhere, including the hospital, including your home, that God wasn't walking with you.
Yeah.
You're his. I'm glad to see you. You're his.
Mm-hmm.
But if we live or we die, we're still his. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, he's about, I'm praying for an awakening to the body of Christ. And only the Holy Spirit could do that by moving among us. And I invite him to move among us. People say, Clyde, why do you pray so much that the Holy Ghost will convict us? I said, because that conviction, you really won't know God much. Because it took the convicting of the Holy Spirit to draw me. So, oh, yeah. I mean, this is good. Because that's when change comes. You know, and I'm going to a change that God don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I know the mercies. I know what the mercies are about. The mercies are being birthed in us. So whom we wouldn't have mercy on, it's almost like I believe in magic. It's changed. I now feel the mercy of God upon him. Anyway.
Praise the Lord.
Well, won't we just stop right there instead of going any further? Buddy, you want to close in prayer?
Yes.
Father, we just thank you for your love this morning, Lord.
Yes, Father.
You open our ears and our hearts and our eyes to your word, Father, and the meaning of your word. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory.
Yes.
Thank you for Sister Etta this morning.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you for putting on our way to your healing. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory.
Yes.
We ask that the next service will just lift you up and praise your holy name and just glorify
yes.
you, Father.
Jesus.
Whoever brings the word forth, it will be from you
yes.
to us in the pews. Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Yes.
Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.